theme for the month is Vision 2020. And you can get 2020 vision if you are focused on Him, if you are looking at Him and allowing Him to show you His perspective, because He has a much better perspective than we do. When Janine and I were kids, we had a Bible story book, and in one of the Bible story books, one of the stories was teaching us how that you could see differently. The guy that was in the top of the tree could see so much more, and he could find things and he could see. And listen, we serve a God that can see everything. So if we will learn to let Him show us His perspective, we can see a lot more than we can just see what's right in front of us a lot of times. And He has plans and purposes. And so sometimes we see our purpose as we have discovered God's purpose for our lives. Sometimes we see it as this elusive thing that we're trying to find and that, you know, God is holding back from us. But really, if you put up the first slide, Joe, our purpose is found in a person. Like Janine talked about this morning, our purpose is found in loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And so our purpose is not just found in what we do, because what we do changes. You know, most of you know, Rick and I have been in a season of change for the last 3 years, 3.5 years when we had another baby surprise in our 40s and then another baby surprise in our 40s, you know, and so seasons change, you know, and life changes. But as we keep Him as our purpose, and seeking Him and knowing Him, our purpose is found in knowing Him. If you want to stand, we're going to read that verse, Matthew 22:37. And this is in multiple of the gospels, but in this gospel, Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, this was when somebody asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In the other gospels, it says, and with all your strength. You can be seated. So walking with Him defines our purpose. Loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And if you are not aware, that is a full-time thing, learning how to do that. It can define your life. You might think, well, how can that define? I promise you, if you will make it your life goal to love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, it really does affect everything. It affects how you live at home with your family, because Psalm 101 says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That means among my family members, that's a work in progress in our family. If I am loving Him with all of my mind, like Brian was talking about in Sunday school, I am allowing God's word to renew my mind daily so that I'm not just deciding things based on what I think is right, but based on what His word already said is right and true. And so walking with Him, living for Him, defines our purpose. Revelation 4:11, I want to read it in the King James Version. And it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we were created for God's pleasure, for relationship with Him. He wants to have relationship with us as His people. It's interesting, this week I discovered that Jude, my 3-year-old, has a lot in common with his great, 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 et cetera, grandfather, Adam. Because when I was reading in Genesis how God brought the animals to Adam and asked him to name them. And of course, when Jude, we went to Summer Waves a while back, and Jude found a little dog in the picnic area. And so we asked him, well, what's his name? And Jude said, his name is Dog. And we said, you don't want to name him like Spot or, you know, anything. No, his name is Dog. Jude also has a bird named Bird. And a teddy bear that is actually one of his siblings that he has renamed Brown, because guess what color it is? Brown. Yes. So, you know, he has a lot in common with Adam. He thought that the dog's name should be Dog, you know, and so, but it's interesting. I discovered with that, like, why did God do that? Why did God, I mean, God has infinite wisdom. He could have come up with the perfect name for each of the animals, but He brought the animals to His creation and said, what are you going to call them? I believe God did it for the same reason that we asked Jude. Well, what are you going to name him? So that we could hear his response, so that we could see. And then God didn't go, no, that's a, like, Rhino, what are you thinking? That's a terrible name. Where did you come up with that? God didn't do that. He went, okay, Rhino, his name is Rhino. Some of the animals I look at and go, yeah, I probably wouldn't have named that animal that, you know, but it doesn't matter because God didn't ask me. He asked Adam, and then he went with what Adam said. And I'm going to come back to this later. But one of the things that I have learned in reading through the Bible is we as people are messy. Like, you know, I sometimes as I was reading it, I thought, God, why do you use people? Like, I mean, we make mistakes and we cause drama and we do things the wrong way and we have to go back and repent or apologize. Jude or Joe, will you put up the last PowerPoint? I'm kind of skipping through my PowerPoints. Nope, the one before that. Okay. And God gave me this picture in my mind. This is Jude's coloring that he did, I think, in Christy's class. And God, when I asked God, God, why do you use people? We're so messy. And immediately it was like, God was like, well, why do you let Jude color? He doesn't color in any of the lines. I mean, none of the people are the correct color, you know? I mean, he doesn't, like, you learn when you're older and you learn how to outline everything so that it really is bold and all the colors are perfect. That's not where Jude is. So why let him color? Because this is beautiful to me. And it was on my fridge, even with all of its messiness. It's beautiful. Why? Because Jude did it. And he's learning, and it's a process. And that is how our Father views us. Yes, we're messy and we make mistakes and we don't always get things right and we sometimes color outside the lines. But listen, God is very good if you are listening to him and if you will surrender your life to his will, he is good at pushing you back in the line. Now, you know, he doesn't always, sometimes it's annoying for us in our flesh. We're like, God, I liked where I was headed. You know, I kind of liked that course that my life was taking. And God's like, no, you don't want to go that way. You think you do, but you don't. Because if we're listening and if our lives are surrendered to him, he will help us stay on the track. Now, sometimes, like I said, we might color outside the lines or we might say something wrong and we might have a thought and God says, no, that's, and we might have to go back and apologize or we might have to go back and take a few backward steps to get back where we need. But listen, God is so merciful and so forgiving. You know, the same way that our children, those of us that have children, they're learning and growing in the way that we work with each other. And sometimes we have to apologize and say, hey, you know, I missed it. I handled that the wrong way. Forgive me. God works with us because he loves us and because he gives us purpose. But that is, the enemy steals that from so many people. Because like that song says, I will build my life upon your love. The enemy steals the idea of God's love from so many people, even Christians. And he makes it about perfection. Listen, we are to be perfect and we are to strive to be holy and to be perfect. But God doesn't love us because of that. He loved us first. While we were still sinners, he loved us. Before we got it right, before we had our ducks in a row, before we colored inside the lines, he already loved us. While we were in the process, before we even got in the process, he already loved us. And so when we come at this relationship with that understanding that, God, you already love me. And you already have a plan for me. And you're already able to work with me because you see from a higher perspective. Then it changes the way that we live and the reasons why we do the things that we do. An article that I read from Bible Study Tools, which it's a really good article, but explained how we love the Lord our God with all of our heart. It said, loving God at all times is a day-to-day learning process. Amen. It said that heart in Hebrew, it wasn't a body part to the Israelites. They had a broader understanding of heart than our culture. They thought of the heart as the organ that gives physical life and the place where you think and make sense of the world, where you feel emotions and make choices. And then this same article about loving the Lord with the mind, it said, when I depend on my own understanding, lies run rampant in my brain. They can pop up at any time in an attempt to slow my walk with God. Loving God with my mind means renewing my mind daily so that I think more of his thoughts instead of my own. I know his thoughts by reading the Bible daily. If I merely put the words into my brain without putting them into practice, it's just an encyclopedia entry. only information, not transformation. But when we take the word in connection with the Holy Spirit who lives within us because we have surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus, then he begins to teach us from the inside and he brings revelation and understanding. We were talking about this Wednesday night and Brian mentioned it's a relational understanding. God teaches us information, but he trains us in information and in relationship and walking with him. In Mark 4, I want us to read Mark 4, verse 13 through 20. We're not going to spend a lot of time on all the soils. If you have never read the parable of the sower, I would encourage you. It's in Matthew 10. It's in Mark 4. It is a powerful parable that Jesus taught to his people and to the people. And he said, actually, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? So it's a very important parable that we understand. But I want to read verses 13 through 20 because this is when they came to him and said, Lord, explain this parable to us. Because basically the parable is Jesus said a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, he threw some seed and it fell on the wayside and the birds came and ate it and it didn't bear any fruit. Some fell on the stony soil and it went down quickly, but because it didn't have much earth, when the sun came, it was scorched and it was gone quickly. Some was sown among thorns and the thorns came up and choked the seed. And then the seed didn't bear any fruit. And some fell on good ground, and the good ground produced fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold of fruit, like in a garden. So here's where Jesus is explaining. In verse 13, he said to them, Jesus, do not understand this parable. How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, the Bible, that's sown. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. This is where when people do not get godly habits, they do not learn, they do not read their Bible, they do not spend time in prayer, they don't get involved in church. And so they're very excited about the idea of Christianity, but it has to go deeper than the surface. And so when they don't have depth in their life because of those changes in habits, then when persecution or tribulation arise, it says afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, so when bad things happen, when they start getting made fun of, then for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, this is what I want to focus on, verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, thorns, this is very interesting to me because I had never thought about that until I was reading through the Bible this time, because this Bible reading plan takes you through the Old Testament and Psalms and the New Testament. And so I was thinking about, it says in verse 19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choke the word. I've heard that word my whole, as long as I've been listening or reading this verse, but I never thought about what the word choke means. I mean, choke means to strangle. Like it is to take something and hold it tight until the breath is gone from it. Do you know, I want to show you. The word choke means to squeeze the life out of, to cut off the breath until it dies. Do you know that God is the one who breathes life into things? Job, I want you to look in Job 32 verse 8. Because when we come into relationship with God, because this person with the thorns, this is somebody that the word has been sown in their heart. But there were thorns there also. And so this says, Job 32, 8 says, but there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. When we allow the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, what happens is it chokes the breath that God is putting on the word of God in our lives. And all of a sudden it becomes unfruitful. It just grieves me because I have seen this happen to people inside the church. You will see them start to grow and start to really begin to receive the word and get excited about what God is doing. And then they get a new job and all of a sudden they're working so many hours. They can't come to church. They don't have time to read their Bible. They don't have time to pray. Those things can choke out the breath of God that was breathing in their heart, that was giving them understanding and perspective. And that's what the enemy wants to do. The Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what's sad is people can have a very full-looking, abundant life down here on the outside. But on the inside, their life is dead. And for eternity, they'll endure death because of that. God breathes on the word as we read it. When we come into church, he breathes on the word because this says the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. When you get understanding, when you're in church, when you're reading the Bible, that's because God Almighty has breathed on it and has shown it to you. So do not let the desires for other things choke it out. Now, I brought this for a reason. I have a new phone. Some of you know that this was a long time in coming. Like, seriously, I started wanting a new phone back in the summer, before the summer, because my kids were going to college, and actually before the summer. But anyway, but I have learned, number one, those of you that know me know I am a shopper. Like I said this a couple of weeks ago, it takes me a long time to shop for things and it can consume my time. But another thing that I have learned is things can be consuming. You get one thing and it causes you to want another thing. And then you get caught up worrying about that thing and focusing on that thing and wanting that thing. And so I'm just being honest. I kept saying to God, God, I lay that thing down. I lay down the desire for a new phone because I don't want it unless you want me to have it. Now, I got a new phone because we switched carriers and they were giving away new phones. So for the first time in my life, I have a brand new phone. Never had that before. We always just bought them used. But the thing is even when I got it, I was like, God, I know how easily I can get pulled into spending too much time working on this phone, like getting it how I want it and I believe that God orchestrated for me to get this phone. I don't feel convicted about having it because I felt like the Lord said it was okay for me to get it. But even this desire for other things can choke out. When you find yourself spending too much time on things, even things that God has given you, then be careful. Because when things become more important than him, they are choking out the word. And so continually, we need to submit our things to God and say, God, everything that I have is yours. And God, I recognize that I could get pulled in to spending too much time on this thing. And God, you are more important to me. So please help me not to let this thorn choke the breath that you're breathing on out of my life. Because God, your breath is more important than anything. And if we'll do that, he will help us. And sometimes I remember my kids that one of my kids would, his fast would be, I'm going to give up my phone for 3 days or for a week and I'm going to put it up, because he could feel it was starting to just pull too much of him. Listen, continually our lives need to be submitted to God, to say to God, God, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And he will help us and he will keep us straight because he is able and he is good and he is faithful. So our purpose is found in him. And number two, our purpose is here. Here where we are, there's a saying that says, bloom where you're planted. Our purpose is to be where he's calling us to be, doing what he's calling us to do. And many times that takes us in directions that maybe we didn't expect. And he sometimes doesn't do things as quickly as we would like for him to, working patience in our lives, teaching us how to wait, you know, doing things that we wouldn't have expected him to do, or asking us to do things we wouldn't have expected him to do. That means sometimes we have to change our mentality or our career or our address. My parents changed their address to come here because God began to deal with them about starting a church here. Matthew, the tax collector, who is known as Levi in Mark 2, but actually Levi was his, let's see, I wrote this down. Matthew was his Greek name. Levi was his Hebrew name. So just so you're aware of that, because in Mark, he is Levi, and in Matthew, he is known as Matthew, but it's the same disciple. But in Mark 2, 13 through 15, it says, this is talking about Jesus. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, And he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, or Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. He became one of Jesus' disciples, and that became his career at that time. After that, he became a minister of the gospel. Of course, Peter, James, and John, the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. So for them, at that time, it became a career change to follow Jesus. Sometimes God will lead you to a career change. I know I talked to a student just recently, and he is in college, and he's like, deciding on a career change because he feels like God is leading him in a different direction. God will do that in our lives. That's why we need to be listening. James 4 says it is arrogance to say, "I'm going to move here and I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to buy and sell for a year." He said, you shouldn't say that. That's arrogance. We should say, "If the Lord wills, I will go here and I will do this or that." Why is that arrogance? Because my life is bought with a price. My life is not my own to say, you know what? I'm tired of being in Kingsland. Rick, you know, said this for a while. He really struggled, wanted to move back to Chicago where he's from, but he didn't. Why? Because God said no. And his life is God's before it's his own. And I'm thankful for that, you know? And so it's important that our lives be submitted to him, to say to God, if God says a change of address, a change of career, a change of mentality, which that last one should be happening on a regular basis. We should be submitting our lives to God so that he can change our way of thinking. What's priority in our lives? What matters to us? That continually needs to be changing as we are reading the word. He leads us in different ways of thinking, which leads to a shift in the way that we spend our time. We're asking the church to fast, like Rick said, and we're asking you to fast what you believe God is leading you to. But I encourage you as you do this, do not, like Rick said, just make it into a diet. The enemy will come and fill your life up. You will have to prioritize spending time with God. But determine, I am going to turn off the television. I'm going to take social media off my phone. I am going to spend time in the Bible so that God can speak to me. Because listen, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And we will give an account of the way that we have lived our lives. And so to say to God Almighty, "I don't have time to read the instruction manual that you left for me to live the Christian life," is that's just not going to fly when we stand before God. Like, we will be accountable for the truth that's in here. And so we need to read it and know what it says. Let's see. It will change your perspective. I'm going to tell you this. You might not feel it in the moment. You might read for 30 minutes and think, "Man, I felt nothing." But I promise you, if you will keep doing it, you will see yourself changing. You will see your perspective. If you will submit to God and say to God, "God, I am doing this not just so that I can check a box." One of the ladies in the Bible study this week was saying how she's reading through the Bible in a year. She just started this. She said every lie came to her mind. "You're just doing that because the church is doing it. You're not really doing it for the right reasons. You've already read this first. You already know this. Why are you reading this? You already know this." But she fought and she's still reading it. I'm so proud of her because of what God is teaching her through that. And as we do it, we will start to recognize the lies of the enemy. "Wait a minute, that's not God. That's not God telling me not to read that verse because I read it one time before. This word is so powerful. You could read it 38 times in one day and God could still reveal new things to you because he's God. And when he chooses to, he can do that. So begin to put in practice what you read. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Jesus, Janine was talking about this earlier. If we will put this into practice and do everything that we do as unto him, it will change our perspective. Listen, I can be just as spiritual when I am changing Eden's diaper on her bedroom floor as I am sitting at my desk preparing for a message. Because my life is his. And right now, my life involves changing diapers. And it's very spiritual when I do it as unto the Lord. Listen, if you're at work, if you're cutting grass, if you're, you know, whatever you're doing, you can do it as unto the Lord. And that's how you learn to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Because when you're like, "Oh, this child, there's stuff all over the place and I don't have enough wipes and now I'm getting poop everywhere." Like, you know, if you keep the right attitude and that, even that can be training. It can teach you. It can help prepare you. When we offer our lives to Him, we can do everything we do as unto Him, recognizing that there's purpose in everything we do. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. I love these verses because if you haven't read Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who was known as, he asked God for wisdom in his younger years. God gave him wisdom and he was supernaturally wise. Like everybody noticed it. Queens and kings from far away noticed the wisdom that God gave him. But his life got full of other things. He filled his life, for one thing, up with women, which, let me just tell you, ladies and men, polygamy was never God's idea. It is a bad idea. And God specifically told the kings not to multiply wives, and Solomon did it anyway. And the Bible says his wives pulled his heart away from God. That's sad. Thorns came into his life in the form of women. And, you know, pulled his life away from what God was calling him to do. So he lived this way. And in Ecclesiastes, you see just like the depression almost that he had, because he said, I'm just going to fill my life. I'm going to give myself everything that I can give in order to make myself happy. And he tried it and it didn't work. And it was still emptiness. That's what you see throughout Ecclesiastes. He said, it's all vanity. It's meaningless. It's empty. Because apart from God, the creator, things and even wonderful people will not fulfill us fully. People are wonderful and a wonderful addition to our life, but they cannot replace God. I said that a couple of weeks ago. Rick and I came to that conclusion. He cannot replace God for me. But this is what he said at the end, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God and keep his commandments. You can't keep his commandments if you don't know what they are. And there are a whole lot more than just 10. So if you know the good 10 commandments, good for you. But there's a whole lot more in there that Jesus said that we need to make ourselves aware of. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people say, well, I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's part of loving God. And I say, talk about reading the Bible so much, because even though we hear it all the time in church, most of us struggle with it. I know as a Christian, I did for a long time. And so it's something that we need to continually bring before ourselves, that it needs to be priority in our lives to spend time in the Word of God. The last point that I'm going to go through quickly is our purpose is now. His plan is our purpose. If we follow Him and do what He's telling us to do now, His plan will unfold. He will lead us. We don't always get the 5-year plan like we talk about, or even the 5-week plan. I would love it. You know, even sometimes the 5-day plan, I'm like, God, just show me. And God's like, just follow me. Just walk with me. Okay. You know, I mean, and sometimes that's what God wants us to do. That's why his word, Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. God didn't promise that he would shine the light for the whole distance. Why? Because we would go running off ahead of him. We need to stay in connection with him daily. He sees, however, the flaws in our character, the struggles we have because of our weaknesses, and he works with us anyway. Abraham, one of the great leaders of the Old Testament, as I was reading through, I read the part where Abraham, they go to Egypt, and he tells his wife, hey, lie to them and tell them that you're my sister. Seriously? Yeah. Like, why? I'm like, that is offensive, you know, for the husband to say to his wife, hey, lie because I don't want to get killed for your sake. What did he think they were going to do? I mean, so they took her off, carried her off to the Pharaoh's palace. And then Abram at that time, thankfully, nothing happened. And the Pharaoh came and rebuked Abram and said, why did you do this? Like, I could have married her and things would have been. And so God, in his great mercy, protected Sarah from anything happening to her, kept the Pharaoh from marrying her, rebuked Abram through the Pharaoh. And then I believe just kind of pushed Abram back into what he needed to do, what he needed to learn. See, we see in the Bible, these people had character flaws just like us. You know, they made mistakes and they went, you know, he probably hopefully looked back later and went, what was I thinking? You know, but I've done that with myself. I look back on some of the decisions that I've made and I think, what was I thinking? Like, Why? Because God, this process is just that. It's a process. So ask yourself, are you letting Him lead your life? Is your purpose being found in Him? Is your life found and your purpose found in doing His will? I will tell you this. One way to find out is to look at this past week, even how you're spending your time and money. Because we can say all day long that when I stand before God, but our days are made up of moments. And our days make up our weeks, and our weeks make up our years. How many of us as we get older have said, this year just passed, like this 10 years just flew by. That's why it's vital that we spend every moment of every day. And when we miss it and we realize, God, I lived this whole day for myself, then we say to God, God, I am sorry. And you start from where you are. Don't start from next week. Don't like, well, I blew it on Monday. I might as well wait till next Monday. I'm just going to skip the fast. You know, I'll just start again next Monday. Start from where you are. I say that to God all the time. I say, God, I'm going to start from where I am. Maybe I didn't start this day off the way that I should have. And maybe I hit the ground running. And because of that, my attitude wasn't right this morning, but I have realized it. And maybe it's 9:30 or whatever, but God, I'm going to start from here. And I'm going to live for you from here. And I make you Lord again from here. And I want to be pleasing to you from here. And so ask yourself that. A word of caution, I will say, it's very easy to get comfortable with less if you're not being challenged with more. I know that's, you know, pretty simplistic, but that's why we need to be reading the word. Because if you're not reading the Bible, you can feel pretty good about yourself. Like, honestly, like, especially we start comparing ourselves with other people, like, well, I'm better than that person and I'm doing pretty good. But when you read the Bible and you go, man, I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be kind. I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to pray all the time and be thankful in every circumstance. Whoo, I need more of Jesus. That's a good thing. We need to constantly be realizing, whoo, I need more of Jesus, because we all need more of Jesus. We need to be more submitted to Him. And so I challenge you to ask God, or ask yourself and ask God, how much time am I really giving to you, God, to lead my life? And if you know that you should be doing more, don't just sit there and feel guilty. That's not going to do you any good. The guilt that we feel is God's way of showing us that we need change. But His goal is not just to make us feel guilty, just to feel guilty. He doesn't want us just to spend our life feeling guilty. He wants us to come to Him so that together we can fix it. That's the beauty of serving a loving God, is that He says, yes, this is wrong in your life. You should have a different perspective. You should be spending more time with me. You should, whatever it is. But you bring that to Him. Don't let the guilt cause you to run away from Him. Bring it with you to Him and say to God, God, I repent. Because I haven't lived, or I haven't thought, or I haven't spoken, or I haven't handled my finances, my life, my time, my mouth, my whatever it is, God, like you would have me to. And I submit it to you. And so I challenge you, because it's easier to live comfortably down here. But if you do that, you will end up with regrets. And I don't want you to stand before God with regrets. I would rather be a little uncomfortable down here so that God can fix things and be more comfortable when I stand before the Lord Jesus. So as this song plays, we just want to invite you. If you need prayer, listen, we don't stand up here to condemn anybody, because like I've said, we have our own processes that God is bringing us through and teaching us through. And as you read this word, you see that God throughout the ages used people while they were getting to where they needed to be. And I'm so thankful for that. So I just challenge you, whatever God has spoken to you today, do something about it. Take that He's spoken to you and repent and allow Him to change you. If you have not really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, or it's been a long time, I just challenge you. He is here. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So we just invite you as the song.